Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm Brett Twitty, Director of Admissions for the Executive Formats of the Darden MBA, and this is our fourth episode. These episodes are just flying by at this point. Now four episodes in. I can remember, just 2 or 3 weeks ago when we were kicking off our first episode. We've come a long way. So hopefully you've been enjoying these interviews and learning more about the program. So before we get to our interview with Barbara Millar, who is the assistant dean for our executive MBA program and has been working with our executive students now for over a decade. I wanted to share a little bit about our admissions process for the year, just a quick update as to where we are in the cycle, knowing that some of you may be working on an application right now. So our first application deadline is October 10, which is right around the corner. And if you are, in fact, working on an application for this deadline, and you have any questions or any way we can be of assistance, please let us know. You're always welcome and encouraged to email us at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. No question too small. We know the way that these things go and how busy many, and in fact all of our applicants are. You may be working on the application right up until that deadline. There's no time deadline. We get that question a lot. You know, does it have to be in by noon or 5 p.m.? No, you have the whole day on the 10th. And of course, you know, if you have any question, big, small, about the application or just want to learn more about Darden, reach out, let us know. We're here to help. So we're also getting ready to hit the road. We participate in a series of what we call multi-school events. So these are events that we do in conjunction with a number of other working professionals programs. That includes both executive MBA programs, but also part-time programs. And we travel all around the country to exciting in places like Chicago, New York, D.C., San Francisco, Houston, and the first one of these events will be coming up in the next few weeks. We'll be in Chicago for an event at Booth, again, the partner event that has a bunch of schools attending. So if you are just starting to do your research and you want to learn about our program and just the general landscape in working professional MBA programs, these events are great. And we have some information, including a registration link on our events page on our website. And I will also be hosting office hours out in Chicago. So if you are in the Chicago area and listening to this podcast and you want to meet one-on-one, learn more about our program, ask any questions you have about the admissions process or Darden generally, I hope you will take advantage of that opportunity. If you check out our scheduled conversation page, you'll see a link there. And of course, to office hours. And of course, if you can't make it for office hours, but you want to connect, we also offer phone conversations. So be sure to check out our events page. And be sure, if you're interested, to hit us up for a phone conversation or office hour meeting. So, I recently sat down with Barbara Millar, who is, as previously noted, the assistant dean for the executive MBA program. She has, again, been working with our executive students for over 10 years and has a tremendous amount of experience, very plugged in with the students. And one of the great things about our program is just all the many people who shape the student experience and care deeply about the student population and how they're experiencing their 21 months at Darden. So the goal with my conversation with Barbara was to talk a little bit more about leadership in the program, but specifically the two leadership residencies that we have, LR1 and LR2. That's Leadership Residency 1, Leadership Residency 2. So these are week-long experiences. They bracket the program. There's one at the beginning of the program, one at the end of the program. Everyone comes to Charlottesville, even if you're a Roslyn section student. Everyone comes to Charlottesville at the beginning and end of the program for these week-long leadership residencies, and wanted to dig in a little bit more with Barbara about exactly what goes on and how she, as part of the program leadership team, thinks about leadership development. Barbara, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Brett.
So for our listeners at home, tell us a little bit more about your role. What do you do with the Executive MBA program?
Sure. So I am responsible for the administration and basically the running of the program. So we manage everything from all the logistics and the operations of the program. I work closely with the faculty on curriculum delivery and course management, surrounded by a fabulous team of peers who work to deliver what is ostensibly one of the best programs in the world. It's more fun than you can shake a stick at, because I think that the combination of working with fabulous staff, wonderful students, and outstanding faculty give this combination of a wonderful leadership experience for me.
So what's most exciting to you about working with exec students? You've been at Darden for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So And we're there for the launch of our MBA for Executives program, which
Correct.
Is now an executive MBA program. And what drew you to this opportunity to work with our exec students?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you asked that because they are a very interesting group of men and women. So I'd spent a long while working with, in my career, working with undergraduates, working with graduate full-time MBAs. And then when Darden, as you say, started the new executive format, I saw an opportunity to add value just based on my interest in student development and leadership development. And so what's exciting about working with the executive MBAs is that they really are balancing enormous lives, right? They have their personal things that they're up to. They have family. They have jobs and work and mortgages. And then they add to that plate a full-time MBA program in the form of an executive format. And watching them manage that and struggle with that and reap the joys and benefits of that is just a wonder and a huge joy to be associated with people who are supporting them. You know, we're kind of their cheerleaders at the Darden School, while their families and colleagues, et cetera, are their cheerleaders outside of the program. And I think that they're interesting people. Their world is not just school, so they're also interested. It's interesting to talk to them about their work and about their families and their vacations, because somehow they manage to have vacations and do community service and run marathons and you know, do all kinds of things that look more like our lives, right? That where they're balancing a lot of different aspects, and that's just incredibly rewarding. To say nothing of what happens as they transform, as we help them develop skills around critical thinking and analytics and leadership. So they're adding value to their companies and organizations, coming back and talking with me about it. And as an educator, there's no greater joy than that. There's no greater, like, wow, that's very cool.
So to get to see the impact of the program
exactly.
in real time.
Exactly.
We always get questions in admissions about how do people balance all of the things that they have going on in their lives. We tell folks that there's no better way to figure that out than actually doing the program. It seems very abstract when you're on the outside, and I think a lot of our current students will say there's not really a good time. There's a better time, maybe. But that once you get started, you just kind of get through it, mm-hmm. right?
That's correct.
It can be a little messy at times, but your point about, you know, supporting students is a good one, because it seems like our students rely on a lot of different people to help them through the program, whether it's program team, their learning team, other folks in the class, mm-hmm. people at home, people at work. It really takes this sort of multiple stakeholder aspect of the experience. And so when you think about how our students develop in the program, a lot of what we do is about leadership development. Particularly, people come to us, you know, on average 12, 13 years into their career, aspiring senior leaders. And we have these two leadership residencies, mm-hmm. right? One at the beginning of the program, one at the end of the program. We just finished LR1. And what stands out to you about this first leadership residency? How do you see that in terms of how it fits in the program generally? What do you hope to accomplish in that first week?
Right, so there's a couple of things, and it's multi-pronged. So the Leadership Residency 1 is a 3-credit course called Developing an Enterprise Perspective, Leading with an Enterprise Perspective. And so academically, what we're trying to do, and what we do very successfully, I believe, is to help the student understand how all the pieces of an organization work together to achieve positive outcome. So they've got, they're touching from a leadership role, finance and accounting, ethics, marketing, operations, in ways that are very both experiential and then case-based, of course. So the academic idea is, you know, how do you stop thinking about your role as an operations manager or as an accountant or as a technology contributor and think more about the holistic of the organization, the enterprise as a whole. And so that's the academic side of it. And we do a lot of, you know, fun, you know, career assessments, personality assessments, and leadership assessments. So students are beginning to understand more about what makes them tick from the human side. They have a quick 2-minute public talk that they do that is also very nerve-wracking, but all gets them talking in class. So the other part of LR1 is this idea of orientation and helping students understand what we're going to expect of them, what they can expect of us, and what they can expect of each other. So they get introduced to their learning team, which is a critical part of not only their learning development, but also their support system. They have orientation to all aspects of the school and how the program runs, everything from how do you do a distance class technology-wise to how do you think about your learning management system and where do I find things, where are my cases, how do I do exams. They have meeting each other. We build in activities and events that allow them to spend time together, both formally and informally. Not a lot of time for that, but, you know, they do go and play, you know, pick up basketball or go out to dinner and all of that, getting to know each other. It's important for students to be in their section, so either the Roslyn or Charlottesville location, and start to get to know each other and also to speak up. So leadership is a skill that you can develop through communication, right? I'm going to follow you because you're speaking to me, you're leading me, you're inspiring me, or I'm disagreeing with what your perspective is. So the case method in that smaller classroom allows for students to give voice to their thoughts, their opinions, their analysis, and convince other people. So it's also important that during that week, everybody has a chance to talk in class because people can be intimidated by this. So it's another overarching goal around the course, the week. Getting ready for the first quarter, right? So we also help them know what's coming and what's coming in the program because it is continuous and doesn't stop until the Christmas break, and you know it's a ride, and they get on it and are very positively inclined by it.
One of the things that we stress with the case method and just how you learn at Darden generally is that it's a communication-based learning experience. So often in business, the ideas that companies elect to pursue are those that were best communicated, and you know, when you sell your colleagues on something that you think should be done, if you can express it in a way that's convincing and it takes into account all the perspectives in the room and it resonates with people, that's a skill.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you have hundreds of opportunities to participate, to experience that or to refine that skill at Darden.
I think the other thing is that it looks like that, and sometimes in very quantitative classes, it's about how you articulate a very deep analysis that you've done, but that you can also teach your classmates. So faculty are often facilitators of the music. They're creating the music, but each individual student is playing their own instrument and contributing to that whole note that's being played. And so sometimes it looks like, pulling back from my past and sharing an experience that illustrates a point that's being made in class. And sometimes it's being able to understand and explain, okay, here's how you use the calculation of net present value, right? So it's this wonderment, and of course, led by our faculty, it works.
And obviously so much of the learning you do in the program is from your peers, right? So to really do Darden well, we in admissions talk about the essential humility the program requires, right? You have to be willing to say, I don't know everything, and I'm going to come in here and learn from all these other people in the room and my learning team and other classmates. And you really, case method allows you to appreciate all that diversity and diversity of opinion and experience. Which I think for executive students, to sit in a lecture class would feel like a missed opportunity, right? Because, I mean, you know, you have people who've lived this stuff, who've experienced it intimately at their jobs. And
exactly. You know, when you ask about working with executives, that's the piece, right? So they have this conversation on grounds. They go back to their offices and their work, and they implement something or they talk about something. They share something happens at work, they come back and they're able to like put a bow on it. I'll never forget the time when the students were in decision analysis, they were learning decision trees. what if statements, and they're, you know, how do you make decisions? And a CFO came back and shared a story in class about just after that class, he was in a board meeting. The board was struggling with a decision they had to make. He stood up and on the whiteboard drew a decision tree and engaged the board on this. That is the clearest way that we win at Darden, when you see and you hear about that. And then what happened as an outcome, how they made a good decision based on something that he brought and that he was contributing back very shortly after he had come to an on-ground. So that doesn't happen all the time. But when it happens, boy, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all think that students are transformed by the program, right? You come in as a certain person, you come out as an enhanced version of that person. And that was the first part of our interview with Barbara Millar. Stay tuned. In the coming days, we will post the second part of that interview, as well as the second half of our interview with Greg Fairchild. If you have been listening to all the episodes of our podcast, you know we sat down with Greg early on. He was, in fact, guest number one on our podcast, we will be airing both the second half of Barbara's interview and Greg's interview in the coming days. So stay tuned, and as always, thanks for listening.